Well, it's just gone 6 minutes past seven on this Thursday evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be speaking with Letterkenny club coach Ali Ferguson as they look ahead to the start of the Ulster Championship 2 campaign this coming weekend against Limavady. There's a preview of the Knockalla Hill Climb. I'll be joined by Donegal Motor Club PRO Bernard Gallagher. Gavin Cullen also speaks to us this week in our League of Ireland chat as we look ahead to the games for Finn Harps and Derry City, and we'll also be talking Premier Division football in the Irish League. And it's with local football that we begin. The new Donegal Junior League season begins this weekend with action in three Sunday divisions, and there are now three Saturday divisions as well. Hughie Rua Gallagher is a well-known and highly respected figure within the game in the county, having played for many years with Gweedore Celtic, where he is now the youth coach with the club and also helps out with the under-16s. A seasoned observer of junior, intermediate and senior soccer, he's been speaking with Chris Ashmore about the season ahead for the Donegal League in what is a new era where there is no longer intermediate soccer in the county.
Hughie Rua Gallagher, another Donegal Junior League season about to commence, and it's a little bit different because with the demise of the Ulster Senior League, intermediate soccer, I suppose, has been back into the junior fold again. So in many ways, this is like back to the future. It's going back to the way things were in the 70s and early 80s.
From 1986, Chris, the Intermediate League, or the Ulster Senior League as it was called then, came into existence, and it has lasted the guts of the 3 decades nearly. Unfortunately, it has demised, and there should be an opportunity for our players to play intermediate football. But over the years, whether it's from lack of support or lack of interest, it dwindled completely, unfortunately, as I said, because realistically, the pathway for players should be schoolboy, junior football, intermediate, and if any of them are good enough then to progress to a higher standard in League of Ireland. And I always thought that there was room for the Donegal Junior League and the Ulster Senior League maybe to cooperate in some fashion. Unfortunately, it's come to pass now that the Intermediate League has gone. Yeah. Which will make probably the Donegal League a lot stronger than it has been in the past couple of seasons.
Well, I suppose the fact that there was no automatic promotion or relegation between the Inishowen League and the Donegal Junior League and the Ulster Senior League, that certainly was a factor in maybe accelerating its demise. But we are where we are, and as you've touched on now, the Junior League is going to be very strong. That's the league to play in. And if we look at the way it's been reformatted, I suppose, first of all, let's look at the Brian McCormick Premier Division. It's always a tight competition, and certainly that's going to be the case again this year.
Absolutely, Chris. And looking at some of the teams, in one area alone, you've got Fannett, Kilmacrenan, Rathmullen, Swilly and Milford. That is a league in its own, very highly competitive. And then on the east side of the county, you've got Kildrum, Castle Finn, and here we'd say in the northwest, ourselves, Gweedore Celtic and Cadhu and St Catharines. And looking at results from last year, many of the games, there was only maybe a margin of a goal between lots of those games, Chris, and that tells you how highly competitive it was. And it's going to be absolutely more competitive this year. And with Fannett gaining promotion and going up to the division and winning it, they've laid a yardstick for every other team. And I think whoever's going to finish ahead of Fannett and possibly Swilly Rovers will be a very good team.
Yeah, and I suppose from the word go, whether you're going to be a side that's pushing for the honours or a side who just wants to stay up, you know, every single point will be absolutely vital.
Well, you look at all the teams, you can say there's going to be, there's very little margin for error, Chris, very little margin. And what will probably end up setting the division would probably be in that area with Fannett, Kilmacrenan, Rathmullen, Swilly, Milford, with so many local derbies. Maybe the likes of Kildrum, Castle Finn, St Catharines, Cadhu could slip in and maybe gain points, whereas the other teams will be taking points off each other. But no, there's no margin for error for any team. First thing you do is you're trying to get to a certain level of points to make sure that you're not going to be in a relegation bother. And after that, everything else is going to be a bonus. But as I said, from our division last year, ourselves, Swilly and Milford gained promotion. But Swilly went through the first division last year unbeaten. And if they have maintained and retained their panel, I think they're going to be a serious threat to any team in that division.
Now, likewise, the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1, again, it has all the hallmarks of being a really, really good league this year. It's hard to call. There'll be three or four teams certainly challenging. No weak teams in it. That's probably one that'll go right down to the wire.
It's like any division. It's a division that's going to be hard to gain points in and to get promotion from. Because when you have the likes of Bunnaghy and Letterkenny, I know they had teams in that division last year, but now they'll be reaping the benefits of more experienced senior players coming into that division. And then in that area alone, you've got Bunnaghy, Letterkenny, Lagan, Conway and Capri are there. Capri just newly relegated, and they won't be wanting to hang around and stay in that division for too long. Cranford have gained promotion. They'll be looking to take points off lots of teams. On the south side of the county, you've got Donegal and Etherbarrow, and here in the northwest, you've got Glenay and Gidore United. So it's going to be a dogfight again there, no more than the Premier Division. I think it'll come down to lots of those local derbies, say the likes of Bunnaghy, Letterkenny, Cranford, Lagan, and this area alone, Glenay and Gidore United as well. It's going to be a very, very tough league.
Yeah, certainly a good geographical spread as well, as is the case in the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2. Teams there, including the likes of Dunkaneely Celtic, who of course in times past dominated the junior soccer scene for a number of years. And sometimes, you know, clubs go right down to the lower division, rebuild, and they do come back up. That's again going to be very interesting.
It is, and you look at the likes of Dunkaneely, they were the kingpins of Donegal soccer for many years, say in the 90s probably, and now they find themselves in the lower tier. But look at, they'll have a chance of rebuilding again and starting afresh. I know it was a tough season for them last year, but look, it's a new season. But looking at that division, you could say it's an East Donegal between Lifford, Tramahal, Raphoe, Drumkeen, Balbuffet, Deal and Curra. Seven teams there that are going to be very, very hard and very difficult to get points in that division. Yeah. Then you've got Kerrykeen and White Strand, another local derby. And Dunkaneely are down in the South Donegal on their own. They've got no local derby, so things might be looking up for them. But again, you couldn't pinpoint who's going to get the promotion from that division, Chris. Across all the divisions, it's going to be a very highly competitive and very interesting league.
Now, the Saturday League, I suppose, has had ups and downs over the years. There's quite a lot of players who would prefer to play on a Saturday to have their Sunday off and maybe go out on a Saturday night. It's expanded, and probably the standard is probably going to go up, and maybe people will take it perhaps more seriously. Some people may have felt the Sunday one was always far stronger, but there's some very good teams in that Saturday league.
There are teams in that Saturday league, especially in the first division, that could easily hold their own in any of the divisions on the Sunday. But as you pinpointed, Chris, some players are just interested in playing Saturday, which is fair enough. And the Donegal League are providing football for them. And they've introduced a third division this year. So across the Saturday and the Sunday, you've got 60 teams, Chris, 30 teams on a Saturday, 30 teams on a Sunday. If you average that out of 15 players per team, you've got the guts of 900 players participating in soccer on a Saturday and a Sunday. Probably the first division of the Saturday would be stronger than the second division. And the newly formed third division, that'll easily level itself out as well, and there'd be very little difference between the teams. Overall, looking at soccer across the county, Chris, I mean, from the schoolboys and schoolgirls and the youth league and the women's league, soccer's going from strength to strength, but there's a gap there in the intermediate section. And when we look at, you know, our representatives in the League of Ireland, Finn Harps, and they're trying to go a pathway where they're trying to introduce Donegal players into their structure, which is the right way to go. But without an intermediate league, I think for some junior players, the step up might not be as easy. And that's why I think the demise of the Intermediate League, it's sad to see it go, but as you said earlier on, it is what it is, Chris, and we just have to move on with it.
Turning just briefly to the FAI Junior Cup this year, Hughie, there'll be strong Donegal representation in it. It's such a difficult competition to get to the latter stages in, but you'd expect maybe this year some of the Donegal teams could certainly go pretty far.
I just had a quick look at the draw there during the week, Chris, and there are eight of the Premier Division teams in the Donegal League participating in it this year, plus the top teams in Inishowen, which, if you took some of those teams and the Inishowen teams, would probably suffice to make a good Intermediate League. But I think Castlefin had a very good run this past season in the Junior Cup Kildrum. So there's no reason why the likes of Fannett, Swilly, any of the teams that have entered, there's no reason why they can't get a good run in that competition. On the other side of the county, Buncrana are very strong. You've got Aelha, Greencastle. It's going to make for a super competition in Donegal alone. And hopefully you get maybe two or three representatives going into the final stages. Very, very hard to progress in that competition. But it can be done. We saw with Cockhill last year, they got to the intermediate final. The quality is there, and it's just a matter of getting your team structure in place, getting a good run, and if you can hang on to your players, there's no reason why Donegal teams couldn't progress further in this competition. And the other thing on the national front, maybe, hopefully, that the Donegal League this year will have representatives at the Oscar Traynor competition as well, because younger players, and indeed more experienced players, I think should be able to represent their league and their county at a higher level as well on a national stage.
Hughie Rua Gallagher speaking there to Chris Ashmore, and of course the Donegal League season gets up and running on Friday night with Bunnagee United against Goodora United. Kick-off at the Dry Arch Park is at 7:30, and there's a full programme of games to be played this coming weekend across all divisions Saturday and Sunday as well in the Donegal Junior League. Well, the new Inishowen League season, Premier Division that is also starting this weekend. There has been League Cup action taking place over the two previous weekends. And having dropped down to junior level for the first time in 18 years, Cockhill Celtic have had a mixed few days, losing their first game to Buncrana and then beating Moville comfortably in the Cup. Clonmany Shamrocks, however, will be providing the opposition on Sunday in their opening match in the Premier Division. Cockhill Celtic managers Gavin Cullen, he joined me this week to talk Inishowen football and also a bit of League of Ireland. Van Harps, of course, are on the road at Wexford tomorrow night in the First Division, and Derry go to Dundalk in the top flight. First of all, Gavin, I suppose since the last time we spoke, which was round about the FAI Senior Cup game with Bray Wanderers down at the Charlie O'Donnell Sports Ground, there's been a big change around Cockhill Celtic since then. You've lost quite a few players and obviously making the drop down to junior football. So what's it been like over the last couple of weeks for you?
After the Bray game, we had a good build-up to the Bray game and a good enough performance in the Bray game. And then the following week or so after, there was clubs interested in players and stuff like that, and players went and spoke to them. We lost five players from then to now, but we've added a couple as well back in. So look, we're ready. Once we get everybody fit and available and ready to go, we still have a very strong team and good squad. You know, it was obviously disappointing to lose the players, but they were going on to senior football and trying it and stuff like that. So you can't blame them neither to go for it. You know.
Yeah. Listen, you got up and running as you said last weekend. It was a sort of mixed weekend. There was victory, a comfortable one on Sunday, Gavin, but then on Friday evening in the first game of the season in the big derby against your rivals Buncrana Hearts, you lost out by 2-1. And what struck me about that result was what was going to come out of that game was the rest of Inishowen football was going to get a huge lift off the back of what Buncrana did that night.
Oh, absolutely, but look, we're under no illusions. Like, Buncrana is a derby for us, and it's a tough, tough game. We played them last season and won the Cups as well, and we had a really tough game. We knew going into the game, you know, that we were short as well, and we knew it was going to be a tough game. Obviously, very disappointed to lose a game, but that is what it is. It's the first game of the season, and maybe it's a wee shot of realisation for our players that we're going to have to work every week to get results, same as we always have. And there's no two ways about it. The game was very tight. Bunkerana got a very late winner and enjoyed the result. And as I say, overall, the course of the game probably was the two teams were pretty even. You know, so look, again, we've seen a reaction from the players on Sunday then. We went into the Mavol game and won comprehensively enough. But we're going to have to be right at ourselves week in, week out. You can't just turn it on, turn it off, you know.
Yeah, will you be turning it on this weekend against Clonmanion? What sort of game are you expecting from the Shamrocks? You do have home advantage at the weekend in this tie, but what are you expecting on Saturday evening in this tie, Gavin?
Not 100% sure. I don't know a lot about Clonmanion. I know they'll be well organised under Marty Doherty, their manager, and I know from Clonmanion over the years that they always work hard in games and they're very hard to beat. So look, I expect them to come and try and set up and defensively and try and hold us out. You know, look, ourselves, we'll just have to come with the right attitude and try to get the high tempo in the game and try and win the game. You know, especially being at home.
Who's the contenders, do you feel, going into the season in the Premier Division, Gavin? Obviously, it's once again all new to you, but if you look at the teams that are involved there, obviously we mentioned one, Buncrana Hearts. Greencastle, not so long ago since they won the title. Obviously, Alia and Glengad United. So a lot of strong teams in that top flight and in a show.
Yeah, look. Judging by speaking to people and what I know of players and stuff like that, Buncrana and Greencastle and ourselves are probably the three favourites, and maybe not a lot between the three teams. We've obviously seen Buncrana already. We haven't seen Greencastle, but knowing Greencastle, they have a lot of very good footballers. You know, so if they hit the ground running and are playing well, know that they'll be a force as well. Don't know a lot about Alia. I know they've lost a couple of players, as have Glengad. A couple of boys retired and stuff. So it's very early days to judge anybody, and even to be judging ourselves, I say we haven't got next or near a full team out yet. Once we do, we'll know better on ourselves. But look, we'll be just taking it week in, week out, and treating each game as the last, and try and win every game if possible.
Obviously, Cockhill's involved in the first division as well, because your youth side dropped down to the first to give you guys a place in the Premier Division. As always, the first division in any showing can be a difficult place to get out of, but is the club's target having two sides in the top flight next year?
I don't think that's possible. I don't think that's allowed. So we'll see what's happening and what the FAA and stuff have in store for next season. So we're currently only planning at the minute for this season and what it brings. Obviously, we'd like our youth team and the young teams, young players at the club, to progress into the first team as a sort of a development squad. But we also want them to get results as well. So, like, the first division will be tough. They'll be playing against, you know, men's sides and strong sides and stuff like that. But like, my expectation of the youth team is to be challenging at the top end of that league as well.
Okay, then. Well, let's move on to matters on the League of Ireland front. Gavin, Van Harps are on the road at Wexford. Things didn't go their way last week against Longford. Really, games that if they did have any ambitions of making the playoffs, they need to be winning. That didn't materialise for Dave Rogers' side. And it could be a sticky one for them on the road this coming Friday night.
Yeah, big time away to Wexford's a tough game. I think the games are running out for in terms of playoffs. And if you look at the league table, sitting second from bottom, bar Kerry, you know, is a major, major disappointment in the season. We all know the start of the season that, you know, they brought on a lot of young lads and give them opportunities. That hasn't worked out. So they went out in a transfer window and signed 10-11 players. And the first couple of weeks it looked really promising, but it seems they have crept back into the, you know, some poor results and poor performances, and the home record sort of isn't great at all. So look, this week we're going to Wexford. It's very difficult to see Harps getting a result, but they have pulled some results out of the bag. But I'm not too sure with the form they're in, how they're going to go at it this week.
Yeah, but the form away from home has been better than the home form. But it won't be a surprise if Harps end up getting something out of the game on Friday night in the road, Gavin.
No, it won't be. Look, they're well capable of the squad of players that they have. Like, the expectations are high, should be high. They're obviously not on the pitch and not getting the results what they should be getting, but Look, any time Finn Harps go to a Wexford, go anywhere in the first division, you do have an expectation of getting results. And as you say, the away form has been a lot better than the home form this season for whatever reason, which is disappointing in terms of their home form. But look, there's no reason why they can't go beat Wexford. Wexford are no world beaters by any stretch of imagination, but I think it's still, with current form, it's a tough enough task.
Obviously, Daithí McCallion taking up an injury last weekend. We don't know what the extent of it is and how long he's going to be out for, but he'll be a miss in that defence for Harps, so he will, Gavin.
He will. He's probably been one of the real positives of the season. Any time I've watched him live, I've been really impressed with Daithí. He's a young lad, but he's definitely got leadership qualities and real worldly one when he's on the pitch. So, like, obviously, if he's out for a period of time, he'll be missed, and it might force them into maybe changing their system because they have been playing three at the back quite a bit. So I'm not too sure what Dave will do this weekend if he's missing, but look, he's obviously going to be a miss.
Moving on to the Premier Division, Derry City have had a bumper month, of course, bumper 6 weeks, taking in all the cup games and the European matches that all happened. But it's back to the bread and butter of the league again. A draw with Bowes last week for Derry, and they're back on the road, Gavin, this week again against Dundalk. But it's time that they started picking up 3 points again in the league, is it?
Absolutely. Look, suppose they had so many highs and so many lows over the last month or 6 weeks. It's been a bit of a roller coaster for the players, and they've been so close. Yet the results in the penalty shootouts didn't go their way. They obviously bounced back well enough away to Bowes last week and played quite well and a very good game of football. But if the realistic goal this season was a title challenge, and I think from now on in, like, they're away to Dundalk, then possibly is at home to Shamrock Rovers or away to UCD in between. So, like, they need to probably be getting 3 points up most of their fixtures from now to the end of the season if they're going to really challenge Shamrock Rovers, starting Friday night, which is a real tough task.
Yeah, it certainly is. Listen, Gavin, as always, thanks for joining us, and we'll be speaking to you again in the coming weeks, and enjoy the football at the weekend.
Thanks very much.
There you go. That's Cockhill Celtic manager Gavin Cullen talking in the show on football and at League of Ireland as well. Now, there's another busy weekend ahead in the GAA Club Championships here in Donegal. The DL Debate is Highland's dedicated GAA show and podcast, and it's aired every Monday evening. And for a full rundown on the championship, you can, of course, listen back now in the playback section of our website, highlandradio.com. The fixtures are continuing this weekend, of course, with round three games leading the way. At the top of the standings after two rounds are Glenswilly, Kilcar and Éireux, all with 2-1s from two, sitting on 4 points. Neave Connell and St Union share fourth and fifth spot on 3 points. And then with one win under their belt, Gweedore, Clonmacnoise, Glenfinn, Four Masters, Dunloe, McCools and Ardragh in that order. While the bottom four have yet to register a point in the relegation battle is St Michael, St Nolles, Milford and Killybegs, but that could change after the weekend. The fixtures here in Donegal in the Senior Football Championship this weekend: Kilcar playing St Nolles on Saturday at 4:30. We'll have updates from that game in town with Peter Campbell. Well, at 6 o'clock it's Glenfinn against McCools, Milford play at Neave Connell and Killybegs take on Éireux Ballyshannon. The action on Sunday at 2:30 will see Glenswilly against Dunloe. Brendan Devaney will be there for Highland Radio Sport. Peter's back in action at Tyrconnell Park on Sunday for the 3 o'clock start with Four Masters against St Michael's. Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News will be attending Maharagallan as Gweedore face Clonmacnoise at 3, and then at 4 Brendan Kilcoyne will be watching St Union's against Ardragh. Not forgetting the third round draw for the Donegal Senior Football Championship, or the fourth round draw that is, will take place after the third round games are played round about 5:30 on Sunday. That's the last of the group games, and then after that round they do of course go to preliminary quarterfinals and quarterfinals. It's also going to be another busy weekend at intermediate and junior level. The three intermediate games on Saturday evening are Downings against Fannad Gael, Neave Breed play Neave Columba and Mallin take on Neave Wara, while the two junior matches are Narossa against Neave Padraig Clifford and Cairn Donna against Neave Ulton. The only team to have won two of their games so far at intermediate are Termon. They host Bundoran, and another of a massive clash at the weekend at intermediate level at the Burn Road starts at 3. The other two matches on Sunday also at 3 o'clock. Red Hughes are making the trip to Burt and Buncrana are playing host to Letterkenny Gaels. By the three junior matches, and the Padraig Muff against Neave Connell C, Orris Place in Union C, and Mavell take on Neave Mora Convoy. There is, of course, a full programme of championship action at club level in Derry as well, across intermediate, senior and junior. And the action continues on Friday night with one intermediate game. It's Foreglen against Fochan Vale, and that one tomorrow evening starts at 6:45, with games, of course, Saturday and Sunday in those other levels of football, at club level in Donegal, or in Derry rather. Back to Donegal, but on the ladies' front, the first game of the weekend is Friday night, Buncrana playing host to Termon. That one down in Inishowen starts at 8 o'clock. At senior level on Sunday, Mavill play St Union, St Nolan's take on Aroa Ballyshannon, and Glenfinn meet Neave Connell. There's also matches at intermediate, junior A and junior B to be played in the ladies' championship as well. While at county level, it's semi-final weekend in the Gaelic Masters Association Championship in the Shield section. Donegal are taking on London in the semi-final on Saturday, 1:30. Errigal Kiernan County Tyrone is the venue, and whoever wins that will be progressing through to play Derry in the final. You're tuned to Highland Radio. We're in the thick of the Score programme. We're going for a commercial break. When we return, still to come on the show, rugby and motorsport.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with premium running footwear from top brands like Asics, New Balance, Brooks, Adidas and Under Armour. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score as we turn our attention to rugby. And Letterkenny are in new territory this week as they start their Ulster Championship 2 campaign at home to Limavady. Paul O'Kane, who was head coach of Letterkenny and guided them to promotion out of Championship 3 last season, has moved on and is now in charge at Saturday's visitors to the Dave Gallagher grounds, Limavady. It makes for an intriguing start to the season as O'Kane's assistant, Ali Ferguson, is now the man leading at Letterkenny and hoping his side can keep their place in Championship 2. Before we look forward to this big game to start things off at the weekend, we'll just quickly reflect back on last week, a Junior Shield game, a 20-10 victory over Coleraine. Were you satisfied with the performance of the side? It's always good to start a new season with a victory, Ali.
No, you know what? The first half, we were really pleased with some of the rugby we played. We felt we gave a good account of ourselves in terms of our attack and play, and there was good intensity and good intent from the boys. I suppose we probably got caught a wee bit, perhaps complacent in the second half. Coleraine came with real tempo and, you know, came at us hard and pulled the game back to a close scoreline in the end. But I suppose that just gives us a heads up as to what to expect this year going into Championship 2.
Yeah, Championship 2, of course, is where you are this year after promotion last year. Just on the personnel front, have you been able to keep the bulk of the squad which you had last year? And have you made many additions to that, Ali? Or how are you fixed with players as you go to the start of the new league campaign?
You know what, we're very pleased we've held on to the core of that group. You know, we've built up a brilliant squad over the last couple of years, and thankfully, for now, the vast majority are still here. We've lost Owen Parkinson and Dara McConnell for now. We might lose Cormac McMenamin, who might be going travelling during the year, but we've kept most of the boys together, and we've also brought in some real good pedigree and good talent. With Jack Sayers and Jordan Maliff, Ross Harkin and Stevie Torrance. So we're really pleased with what they'll offer, and they give us sort of extra strength and depth, you know, to what's already a talented squad. So hopefully we're well prepared and all bases covered.
Yeah. The target obviously this year must be to stay in Championship 2.
Well, like, I suppose we're realistic enough to view that on the grand scheme of things, people view us as underdogs initially, and that's what we expect. And to a point, that's actually what we relish. You know, the boys seem to be really, really keen to go up and prove a point and try and, you know, I suppose remove that underdogs tag as quickly as we can and prove that we're there to compete and we're there to really challenge teams. But you have to earn that respect and earn that right. So we'll get stuck into it. And at the moment, with how the preparation's going and how hard the boys are working, we're in a mindset that we're willing to back ourselves. Yeah. We know it'll be close, and we know a lot of games will come down to the wire and fine margins, but I think that's what the boys are excited about at the moment, is getting that opportunity to get up and prove ourselves and have a crack at some of the bigger clubs.
Yeah. There's a very intriguing and interesting dynamic to this game against Limavady at the weekend. Obviously, Paul O'Kane, who had Gordon West success with Letterkenny in recent years and got promotion, was the head coach. He has now moved on, and he's head coach of the opposition, Limavady, this coming Saturday. You were his deputy for so many years at Letterkenny. You two guys actually worked together in Foyle College as well, and you coached together in Foyle College. So I suppose, what's it been like this week with that strange sort of dynamic, Ali, as you come to start the season with what you could class as such a huge game?
I suppose when we seen the fixture list, we laughed, you know, that we'd throw it up first up. You know what, Paul's been absolutely brilliant for the Letterkenny as a club and for our squad and for me personally in terms of the journey I've been on, him, you know, with him helping me as a player and bringing me into coaching and bringing me into Letterkenny. And one of the things one of the best things about sport in general is the people you meet and the personalities you meet through it. And anybody that has had the pleasure of working with Paul will know what he's like as a person and what he's like as a rugby man. Saturday, actually, you know, from our perspective within the squad, we haven't spoken about it being, you know, Paul's Limavady or anything like that. We're just focused on delivering the performance that we can be proud of. And, you know, hopefully come 4 o'clock on Saturday, we can all have a catch up and sort of get on with each other. But for now, I think in terms of Foyle, we're just focusing on Foyle stuff in here and not really talking too much about the whole Letterkenny Limavady scenario yet.
So he's still speaking to you at the minute anyway?
for now.
Yeah. Well, listen, tactically, in the way that you two guys coach the game, you know each other very, very well. So you still going into this match?
No, definitely. And you know what? There's a lot of similarities between what we were doing in Foyle and what we have been doing in Letterkenny. And no doubt, you know, Paul's way approaches the game, that'll be impacting the Limavady boys as well. But equally, we've been at a point where we've constantly been evolving and tweaking and working at things. And no doubt, you know, he's coming up with ways to play to his strengths with the players that Limavady have and making adjustments. And likewise, we're trying to gradually build and tweak and improve our own game plan from what it was last year and learn the lessons from the good and the bad, I suppose, that we delivered as a squad last year in Championship 3. So while Paul obviously knows the majority of our players and what we're about, you know, hopefully we can just deliver a performance we're proud of and see where that takes us.
As we mentioned, there was recent success in the Gordon West Cup and the fact now that yous are playing in Championship 2 that yous can't play in that competition. But yous are in the Towns Cup and you're obviously playing in the Junior Shield. It's a step-up level, but you have had a marker there before and it's a competition that can you feel, I suppose, comfortable in, Ali?
Well, we've got a tough draw now with Ballymena at home as our first draw, so that's a challenge, but last year, the Towns Cup gave us the real belief that we were actually ready to push on and try and go for promotion and get into that Championship 2 based on the performances we delivered at home against Randallstown and Ballyclare. So it's something that we're not taking our eye off the ball, you know, in terms of we still want to do well in the Junior Shield and the Towns Cup, but our priority very much so is our games and our league matches.
Yeah. Just finally then, is there any sort of pressure around the club because you are now in Ulster Championship 2, somewhere that they haven't been before. So this is the highest level that Letterkenny is playing at. Last year there was pressure to get promotion. Is there pressure now amongst the group to stay there, or is it a case of just trying to see how you can get through the season and come the end of it, try and make sure that you're still at this tier?
You know what, I wouldn't say there's pressure. At the moment, the vibe within the club in general is one of excitement. We have our 50th anniversary this year, and there's a lot going on behind the scenes, you know, at committee level for celebrating that and making a big thing of that. And, you know, as a playing squad, we sort of feel the excitement of embracing the promotion is a big thing, and we want to be able to have the performances and the results in tandem with that to make sure that our 50th anniversary is a big year that we can all be proud of. And like the work on behind the scenes, you know, the underage and the youth and the female setup are all constantly progressing and moving forward. So there's a lot of excitement and a lot of buzz that we feel that we're, as a club, we're sustainable and we're in a position to move on and be successful. So it's not a negative pressure in any way. It's just a case of embracing that and really excited to get started now.
Yeah, be good to get started with a one on Saturday.
Definitely, it would be nice to get off with a win and get some points on the board now.
Paul mightn't like it, but the Letterkenny boys sure will. Listen, good to talk to you, Ali, and we wish you and the group every success this year and on Saturday as well against Limavady.
Thank you, Oisin.
That's Ali Ferguson. That game at the Dave Gallagher Grounds on Saturday starts at 2:30. And Alec McDonald will be there and reporting for Highland Radio Sport. Let's go to motorsports. And the Knockalla Hill Climb is back this weekend with 2 days of action up the famous hill. The event is also counting rounds of the National Hill Climb Championship, but a big local interest will also be taking part and taking on the Rally Challenge event. There's a bumper entry for the hill climb. Donegal Motor Club PRO's Bernard Gallagher, and he's been telling Highland Radio Sport that it's all systems go, despite concerns and changes in restrictions.
Yeah, it is, Oisin. The paperwork's nearly all sorted. The entry list's out. All entries are in. Looking forward now to a good weekend. Good weather, hopefully, and a bumper entry list for this year again. We're nearly full capacity again this year.
Listen, there was some questions over the event a number of weeks ago, but things over the last few weeks have moved with a lot of legs. And listen, it's a round of counting rounds of the championship, so there's going to be people who are looking to do well this year are going to come to Donegal and try and make a statement in the hill.
Yeah, there is. Like every event, it's moving and adapting each year, and each year brings new restrictions and rules and regulations, and there was a bit of that went on earlier this year, but thankfully Knockalla's been there now. This is the 51st year of the hill climb, and Knockalla's been there the majority of the years, so we're delighted to have it back again, especially after the success last year, the Danny Gormley Memorial on the 50th. It's great to have it back again for this year. The championship, as a championship event again, is two counting rounds, a Saturday and a Sunday. And the championship guys have filled the entries as usual. It's a 50-50 mix nearly between local motor club members and a rally with the club men and the championship, which is made up of all sorts of machinery. You have single-seaters of all shapes and sizes. You have some classic vintage cars. You have a big mix on it there now. Just looking at the championship as before we start now, Russell Stanworth in a single-seater is leading it, followed by Rob Duane and Brian Kerwin. And anybody that follows the championship or in the hill climb, although they're regular contenders, the championship contenders tend to stay the same each year. That's a championship that they do year in, year out, and we're delighted to have them back in Donegal for this year again.
Yeah, you mentioned the club men there, and this year slightly altered because there's a new rally challenge being brought into the mix. How does that work, Bernard?
Yeah, well, the COCs, that's the brainchild of Michael Kelly, one of the COCs for this year, along with Larry Harper. And one of the complaint the club men had each year was that they were going down and trying to race against single seaters that were adapted and specially built for hill climbs, and that for the club man it wasn't that entertaining a weekend. So this year we've developed a new 2-day rally challenge, and basically anybody in a rally car or any club man classes can win this, and it is the most consistent time up the hill wins. So it doesn't matter, you're racing yourself. So what happens is the competitor with the closest times each day will win, and over the 2 days will win the weekend. So it's the most consistent times each time up the hill, not the fastest. So you could have somebody in a smaller powered car, say a Micra or a Fiat Seicento, or one of them younger drivers competing against somebody like we have Damien Geller, for instance, and Mac Welsh entering an Escort, a more powerful Escort. So it's up to themselves to get the most consistent time each time over their runs up the hill every day. So that's the idea behind that.
Yeah, and of course, club men were very, very happy to see something like this, and they've entered in their big numbers.
They have. We have nearly full capacity for Sunday, and we have one or two spaces left for Saturday. But I'm sure they'll be full before the weekend. We have some new drivers. We have a couple of new entrants. We have Stephen Duggan from Dunlow's first time driving. We have Brian Gibbons also out first time driving. With Jack Harris from Convoy and a new Fiesta, his first time on tarmac and first time to Knockalla. With a few others, Jordan Green as well from Dunlow. With John Callan from Burt's, the first time driver. So, a lot of new drivers. And then with a lot of the more older hands or the more regular competitors, I'll not say older in case insult them, regular competitors. We have Ivan Stewart and Kel McCrennan back out in his M3. We have Willie Vance in a Mark 1 Escort. We have Willie McFadden in his G3 Escort, who went very, very hard last year. We have the Fowler and Son battle going on between Keith Stewart and Sam Stewart and the Starlet. They're doing Sunday. And then we'll have our sponsors then, Brendan Kelly out and Kelly's Toyota's come on board this year as a sponsor. And Hammond's nephew Joseph Kelly's doing it as well both days. So we've a lot of interesting battles like that going on. And I said we'll have Damien Geller back at a retirement. He's on Hammond Mac Wallace's dual driving Max Escort. So that's bound to be entertaining for the weekend.
Chris Meek's Citroen's going to be on the hill at the
it
weekend.
It is. We've entered in here from Chris's brother Barry. And Barry's bringing down the original Citroen C2 that Chris rallied. It was up for sale recently and is back in the family. So Barry's going to be there at the weekend. So he's coming down on Saturday. So he's just doing the one day on the Saturday. So it'll be nice to see that go up the hill.
Any other surprises?
There might be another one or two. I don't want to announce nothing yet. They're still in the mix. Actually, might have one or two other drives. We have, who else over there? Remelton, a good battle in Remelton of Gary Lockhart and Sean Hardy. Battling out there for Remelton of Timothy Dugan as well, always a good entertainer. We'll have Josh Harris. Who else is there? We have Adrian Swinney's back out in the Sutton C1 with Shane Kerr down Remelton Road as well. A lot of the locals with Councillor John O'Donnell's coming on his M3. Another person coming for the first time is Kieran McBride from Inishowen, a Civic. He's doing both days for the Rally Challenge. We'll have JP and James Logue, regular competitors, coming again, doing a dual drive in their blue Civic. We'll have young Dara Boner as well, PJ's son. And we have Raymond Scott and Brian O'Donnell from Kilmacrenan's out as well. So we have a lot of local interest.
A lot of local interest in it. And obviously they want to tackle this hill. The winners, of course, will get the Danny Gormley and the John Leinster Memorial Trophies. John Leinster was a guy that came regular to Knockalla and set the quickest time in the hill a number of years ago. It has been broken since then, but given the new regulation that's been put in on Knockalla, maybe in the way the course has changed over the last number of years, can that time be broken this year, or can a new course record be set at any stage in the next couple of years?
Well, I don't know. This year is going to be a very interesting year. We have the introduction of what's called a virtual chicane on a trial basis for this year. It's been introduced in the hill climbs, a couple of rounds of hill climbs this year.
How does that work? How does a virtual chicane work?
That's what we're going to find out at the weekend, to be honest with you, Oisin. It's basically a system. I suppose the nearest thing I myself is like the pits in the F1. You know, when the F1 cars come into pit, they down the speed to get down their average speed. It's similar to that there, where you have three or four beams, and when the car hits it, it has to get down to an average speed that's set in the day. That'll be discussed at driver's briefing. And basically, you have to sit red until the light goes green. You have to ease off until you get an average time over these three beams. And as soon as you hit a green light, you get going again. Right. So there's going to be, it's a time penalty if you don't obey it. And then it's a safety. They're bringing this in. MA is trying to bring this in as a safety device. It's on the rallying. It's been testing the hill climbs at the minute, but suppose the big picture is it's going to be introduced under rallying as in general now and years to come. That's why they're trying it. They have it in America at the minute. They have it in some of the European rounds.
How's that working out? Because I'm trying to get my head around it here in a rally form, particularly on a stage.
Yeah.
When you come into a virtual chicane, like if you're on a road at 120 kilometers an hour, and you have to break down into a certain area in the road, because there's no actual physical chicane there.
No, there's no actual physical chicane. And that's causing a lot of discussion at the moment. Is this just a time penalty, or is this actually a safety device or a safety element to it? Because there's nothing stopping you from driving straight through it, only you'll get penalised for doing it. And it's a traffic.
What's the distance of it?
It's over 35 metres.
Right, okay.
There's three of them. It's going to be interesting to see. The best place to look at, if you want to see it, is go on YouTube. And YouTube West Meath was the first one this year to run at the hill climb area this year. And there's a whole video on it, how it works, and they talk about it a bit on it as well. So it's going to be new for everybody for the weekend. It's a new challenge for the competitors. It's one that's getting mixed reviews. It's one that we'll give it a go this year and see. And it'll be interesting to see after the event what the verdict does. But like everything's to cut down in manpower, and cut down in meals, and cut down in setting up stages.
Yeah. Whereabouts on the hill does this?
That's going to be at the very start this year. It's going to be 290 metres from the start line.
It'll be before the famous Wallhares.
Be before the famous Wallhares corner, and you'll have that out of the way, and then straight to the top then, like every other year. Right. Well, you have to get around the corners, straight mightn't be the right word to use, but as fast as you can up the hill around the bends.
Yeah. Wallhares corner, as we mentioned, is famous in rallying. But it originated out of the Knockalla Hill Climb.
Yeah, it was the Knockalla Hill Climb where the original Mr. Wilhair lost it and had that awful smash. And back in the 70s, it'll be back 50-odd years ago now, I think. There's a bit on the programme, there's a full article in the programme about it. There's going to be a programme available on the day, and it was there last year as well. So that's why the corner's actually named Will Hares, because of the hill climb. Everybody thinks it's because of the International, it's because of the hill climb. Yeah. And
that's back in the day when you had 10,000 people on the hill. Are those reports true?
Well, that's what was reported in the article. And there was 10 paying people on the hill as well, yeah. And they all paid entry to get in. You used to have to pay by admission by programme to all these events back in the day.
Is there a paid entry this year?
There's not a paid entry this year. There's a programme available, and all donations is welcome. But no, it's a free day. It's a family day, and everybody's welcome to come down, have a look, come down, see them taking off the line. There's cars, there's single seaters, there's minis, there's open top cars, there's all sorts of rally cars, there's escorts, there's going to be R5 Fiestas there. There's going to be M3s, there's going to be a whole selection of cars, something for everybody.
And just over the course of the 2 days, starts and finishes at what time?
Starts around 10 o'clock, 10, half 10, first car up the hill. We'll have our driver's briefing, safety briefings, and get the hill set up every morning before that. Marshals, anybody coming looking to marshals should be there from about 8 o'clock. And then it finishes roughly about 5 and the road opens again at 6.
Okay. Well, listen, the very best of luck with the latest edition of the Danny Gormley Memorial Knock Gala Hill Climb. We look forward to what hopefully will be an exciting weekend, and have a safe one. Thanks for joining
Thank
us,
Bernard. Thank you. Thanks, Roisin.
Hopefully they'll get the weather on the hill at Knock Gala for that hill climb event this coming weekend, Saturday and Sunday. That's Donegal Motor Club Piero Bernard Gallagher. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight here in Highland. Remember, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap shortly in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Our next sport here in Highland is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news with Chris Ashmore. So until then, what's left of your Thursday, have a good one. Enjoy. Bye-bye.